Our reading this morning is from the Gospel of John. We'll be reading from chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. It is so good to see everyone here this morning, and it is a pleasure for me to share the message with you today. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Jake McLaughlin, and formerly I was your director of Serve Ministries here at Floris, and now I have the great honor of being the pastor for our new Restoration Church in Loudoun County. Yay, I get a round of applause. Awesome. Thank you. We haven't even started yet, and this is great. All right. We're just getting started, and I'm really excited about the prospect of sharing the good news and building a new faith community near the Route 50 corridor. And let me also say thank you. Through the Dream Campaign, Floris is supporting Restoration Church in Loudoun County through financial gifts and through those of you who will be helping us start this new faith community. To say that we couldn't do it without your support is an understatement. It's absolutely integral to the work that we will do is having your support. So thank you so very much for that. And this is our last Sunday of our sermon series called Good Questions. Through this series, we've been looking at the questions that Jesus asked in the gospel stories. I have personally found this series to be very enriching as I consider what these questions mean for my faith life and how these questions apply to us today. Today's question comes from the scripture that was just read, "Do you love me more than these?" And before I get into the message, let's take a moment for prayer. Loving and gracious God, we are yours. Use us as you see fit. Teach us through this scripture and the message today. Give us ears to hear what you may have us hear. Open up our hearts, Lord. Help us, God, to experience your mercy and your grace in this place and in this sanctuary. Work in and through us, almighty and merciful God. Amen. Has anyone here needed a do-over recently? I saw a hand go up really fast over here. Yes. Good. Yes, a do-over is when you make a mistake, you say the wrong thing, or you make a bad decision that you almost immediately regret and wish you could do it over. Maybe those of you who are parents can remember a time when you were engrossed in a book or a movie or in your phone, and then you noticed that your house that is usually filled with loud sounds of kids playing was now eerily quiet. And then you walk into your kitchen, and you see something like this. These are not my children, I just want to say. Google is awesome. Or maybe you know someone who is really excited to get their first tattoo, and their adrenaline is pumping because, you know, tattoos last forever. And when it's done, they realize that instead of getting the words "no regrets," they got something that looks more like "new reg vets." Yeah. Here's the thing about do-overs. Sometimes we think we're making the right decision and we're not. Sometimes we say or do the wrong thing unintentionally, and sometimes we know exactly what we're doing wrong and we do it anyway. And the truth is, there are levels to do-overs. I think most of us here can think of those little things that we've done that we'd love to have a do-over. A slip of the tongue, a quick decision gone wrong, a missed opportunity to do the right thing. Now, some things we just can't do over, like last week, for example, when I opened the medicine cabinet in our bathroom and the top shelf fell on the next shelf and on the next shelf and then everything spilled down. Can't do that over. Just can't do it. But if we go a step beyond our do-overs, we've all made mistakes, we've all done something or said the wrong thing that led us to feel a sense of loss or shame or regret. In those situations, it's possible that we either don't know how to redeem the situation or we don't feel like we have the power or the courage to make it right. In those cases, it's a bit more complicated. We need more than a do-over. We need more like a second chance or an opportunity at redemption. Now, making mistakes and wanting a second chance when it is possible is a natural thing. I believe that the yearning we often feel to right wrongs or for a second chance or a shot at redemption is enmeshed in our souls. And I think this is especially true in our faith life because most of us can recall moments when we relied on our own understanding rather than abiding in God's mercy and grace. And it's also true of our personal relationships because most of us can recall a time where we said or did the wrong thing to someone we loved. And in our culture, we love stories of second chances and redemption because most of us know what the shame and regret of our past mistakes feel like. Or we know what it's like, we know what it feels like to not live up to our full potential. Any opportunity that we see someone to reconcile or make amends or step up reminds us of the possibilities within our own lives. There is something quite beautiful about seeing something broken made whole because it requires a depth of faith and courage to look at one's mistakes and missteps and want to make it right. When Jesus questions Peter in our scripture for today, "Do you love me more than these?" He is asking Peter where his priorities lie. Is his love for Jesus greater than the other disciples? Is he as committed as he should be? And as we dig into the background of this scripture, we learn that Peter really has two paths in front of him. He can be a man who once walked with Jesus, but is now reeling from shame and regret. Or he can be the redeemed disciple willing to risk it all. We can ask this question to ourselves, do we love Jesus more than these? This question is pivotal for us and our relationships with Jesus and with our loved ones and our neighbors. For me, these can represent mistakes, broken relationships, or missed opportunities. For others, these may be addictions or unresolved traumas or feelings of doubt. We all have something that holds us back from our relationship with Jesus and with others. And I don't think it's an easy thing for us to forget our past mistakes. The question we have to ask ourselves is that when the opportunity comes to be redeemed, like when Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" what will we do? Will we seek and accept the redemption that Christ offers, or will we keep doing what we think works for us? These things, our hurts, our mistakes, whatever these may be, can shape our lives, but they do not have to have the last word. In the story we read today, Jesus asks Peter if he loves him not once, but three times, and it tells us a great deal about the power of redemption, and we learn that this moment is a stepping up point for Peter. In order to get the full picture in the scripture, let's take a look back and look at the events that led up to this moment. Most of you know who Peter is. He's probably one of the most well-known of the disciples. He was formerly a fisherman, and he and his brother Andrew were called by Jesus to follow him. And Peter was a leader amongst the disciples. He was gung-ho for Jesus. He had a great deal of confidence in his love for Jesus. So much so, his love was so firm that Jesus called him Cephas, which means rock. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus tells Peter that he is the rock upon which the church would be built. But we learn in practice that maybe Peter's love and dedication wasn't quite as solid as a rock. When we come near the end of Jesus' ministry, Jesus shares a meal with his disciples. We call it the Last Supper. And there's a very important dialogue between Jesus and Peter we find in Matthew 26, verses 31 through 35. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." And Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. That's a pretty powerful and confident statement coming from Peter about his love and loyalties, right? He says, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. And even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." Later in the chapter, Jesus is arrested and begins his journey towards his death and resurrection. And as Peter sits in the courtyard having seen this, people start asking him about his association to Jesus, which of course he begins to deny. And we pick it up at verse 74, where we read, "Then he began to call down curses, and he swore to them, 'I don't know the man.' Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Jesus remembered the word Jesus had spoken, 'Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times.' And he went outside, and he wept bitterly." Peter goes from, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you," to, "I don't know the man." Talk about a 180. Three times Peter denies Jesus, just as he had said it. And when it really came down to it, Jesus called it just like it was. Now, getting ready for this sermon this week, I actually spent a lot of time feeling a great empathy for Peter. Because there's a certain amount of tension in this situation, and I tried to spend some time imagining Peter's emotional state. I mean, here's the situation he's in. To see the man that he calls Messiah, King of the Jews, locked up in chains, awaiting trial and death. That's who Peter sees now. To have flashes in his memory back to when Jesus was healing people and telling them about the kingdom of God, to now be seen as a criminal. To see the man you followed, who led and acted and healed and spoke with such great power, to now seem powerless. I just can't imagine the feeling that Peter had of terror, of trauma, or of powerlessness. Whatever it was that Peter was feeling at the time, we know that it was absolutely stronger than his loyalty and love for Jesus. The love that he had described to Jesus just a short time before. And after he denies Jesus three times, here's a striking moment. "And he went outside and wept bitterly." Why? Because he betrayed the Messiah? Because he was a coward? because maybe his love for Jesus wasn't as great as he once believed. What we know is that when push came to shove, in that moment, Peter didn't have the courage and faith in Jesus to do as he said. His love for Jesus was not greater than these. And that brings us into this moment in the scripture story today. If there was ever someone who wanted or needed a shot at redemption, it would be Peter. And lucky for him, he gets that opportunity. So we're after the resurrection, Jesus would appear to the disciples in different situations. And on this particular day, Jesus appears to a handful of disciples who were fishing. Jesus calls them from the shore, tells them to throw their nets over the right side of their boat, and they bring in an epic catch of fish. And later, Jesus beckons them to the shore to share something to eat. And let's take just a look at a portion of this scripture that was read today, and I'm just going to paraphrase it. They finish having breakfast, and Jesus looks at Peter and he says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus says, "Feed my lambs." He asks the second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And Jesus says, "Tend my sheep." And then a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And I love this part because it says Peter felt hurt because he had asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." To which Jesus responds, "Feed my sheep." So here's what I want you to know about this scripture, what I want you to be thinking about this week, if you have an opportunity to look at the scripture in the week, is that we learn from the scripture that Jesus redeems. Jesus is relentless in his pursuit for redemption and mercy. If there is something that is absolutely non-negotiable in Scripture, is that Jesus can and will redeem us from our brokenness, our sins, and our mistakes. Jesus offers this redemption with grace and mercy. We just merely have to accept it. Jesus asks Peter three times if he loves him. Why? Some scholars and commentaries say that it's rather simple. Peter denied Jesus three times. It makes sense that Jesus would ask Peter three times if he loved him, if he really loved him. But the first question goes a little bit deeper. Do you love me more than these? In this moment, Jesus is really questioning Peter's loyalty, his dedication, and his love by asking him whether or not Peter loves Jesus more than the other disciples. If you remember, Peter is the rock. He is the leader of the disciples. He is the one that said, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. And even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." In this moment, Jesus is really asking him, by asking him if he loves him three times, deep down inside, if he is sure. Is he absolutely certain of his love of Jesus? Is his love stronger than the other's love? Is his love of Jesus in greater abundance than his love of the world? He asks this because in order for Peter to do what he will do in the future, his love and leadership has to be unquestionable. His faith must be as solid as a rock. Ultimately, "Do you love me more than these?" is a transforming question. When we are reminded of a broken relationship or a past mistake or a missed opportunity, or when we are in the midst of a mistake, this question is essential in allowing ourselves to be open to the possibility of redemption that Jesus offers. Just like most people, I have relationships that are broken. And for some of these, I've spent a great deal of my life trying to deny the pain or just trying to sweep it under the rug. And the question I've had to ask myself is, do I believe that Jesus can redeem my broken relationships? Do I believe that Jesus has the power to redeem? In my work to become a pastor, one of the things I've had to do over the years is identify the spiritual themes that are absolutely essential to my faith. I've spent time searching Scripture, looking at my past hurts and mistakes, and remembering where God has worked in my life. And one of the themes that I discovered as I did this work was this very belief that Jesus redeems, that Jesus seeks us out to redeem our lives. In the last year, especially, I've had to lean more on Jesus and His power to redeem those relationships. These are relationships I once thought were unredeemable. And this work has made me more open to Jesus transforming my heart. And it has taken away the negative power these relationships had on my life. So when we understand that Jesus redeems, it leads us to the next thing, which is that redemption can make us whole. When our love of Jesus is greater than our love of these, whatever these are for you, we begin to transform. When we seek second chances with people, when we seek to right our wrongs, and we allow Jesus to act in and through us, we begin to become whole. We begin to live the life that Jesus seeks for us. Each time Peter is asked the question, "Do you love me?" he answers in the affirmative, and Jesus responds three different ways. He says, "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep." Peter will be a leader in this new church, responsible for the flock, for those who will come to know and love Jesus. The affirmation of his love comes with great responsibility to watch over the vulnerable, to teach them, to nurture people in this life-changing faith. Jesus asked Peter these three questions to ensure that Peter was crystal clear on his love and his mission to spread the good news to the world. And with that, Peter is given purpose and an opportunity at wholeness. The once confident leader, Peter, who wept bitterly at his own betrayal of Jesus, is offered an opportunity at redemption. Peter experienced the shame and regret of denying Christ and is offered mercy and redemption. Peter is offered a holy purpose. Ultimately, it is Peter's failure and betrayal that opens him to what real love and real devotion looks like. That is what prepares him to be the rock of the church. It is true to say that some of our biggest mistakes and failures can also be our greatest teachers. And I think it's true for Peter, that the redemption that comes from Jesus shapes us into who we are called to be. Henry Nouwen, the well-known priest and theologian, expresses the power of our wounds and mistakes in a book called Wounded Healer. In it, Nouwen suggests a person must make one's own painful and joyful experiences available as sources of clarification and understanding. That's Peter. He literally became the rock on which the church was built because of this mistake, this denial. Peter's love was only solidified when Jesus offers him redemption. We learn that through the remainder of Peter's life, he never disowns Jesus, even to his death. This is the epitome of redemption and how it leads to wholeness. The last thing I want to leave with you all today, I want you all to know that we are all worthy of redemption. When we understand the power of redemption, It begins to transform us. It does not make us immune to hurts or mistakes, but it leaves space for redemption and for grace. Peter, the ultimate disciple, the strong leader, denies Jesus 3 times. He feels instant shame and regret and weeps bitterly at what he had done. And the story could have just ended there. But that's not how Jesus works. Jesus does not cast people aside. I can tell you right now, with no doubt in my heart, that when Peter saw Jesus risen from the dead, he likely instantly felt unworthiness because he had denied Jesus. And yet Jesus seeks out Peter and redeems him and calls him to his purpose and to his mission to be something greater despite his failures. Just as it was for Peter, redemption is also a part of our story. We often feel that we are unworthy of redemption or of second chances because of things we've said, things we've done, or mistakes we've made. And for the longest time, I felt that some of my relationships were beyond redemption, that they were broken beyond repair. But I asked Jesus to give me the courage and mercy to seek redemption. It's been some of the hardest work I've ever done in my life because my mind doesn't want to forgive and I just want to hide from those hurts. But I know that Jesus walks alongside me every step of the way. Jesus does not cast aside our fears. He walks alongside us. Jesus walks alongside us every step of the way. Jesus is transforming our lives and offering us all a shot at redemption. Peter, in the grand scheme of things, made a mistake on an epic scale. But we learn that redemption is possible even when it doesn't feel that way. His mistake doesn't have to have the last word on who he is supposed to be. Our mistakes, our hurts, our broken relationships do not have to define us either. Wholeness comes when we seek redemption from Jesus. And if there was ever someone who needed that second chance, it was Peter. And lucky for us, he gets that opportunity. And lucky for him, he gets that opportunity. And lucky for us, we get that opportunity too. Amen.